I would also add, I think those are, that's a great example of sort of measures that have been taken within the fishery management arena, and largely in Maine, motivated by the industry itself, which is really important. I think that as we look forward, some of the measures that will be needed are related to the management of fisheries and our management processes in terms of aligning the ability to understand changes in populations in real time as they occur, so that management isn't lagging behind the changes as they are being experienced, and so that the planning for harvest levels can keep up with the realities of what can be produced by the population. In the study that we did with cod, we saw that the warming temperatures had actually reduced the productivity of that population. But the failure to kind of catch that in the stock assessment process meant that the quotas weren't adjusted downward in time to sort of stave off a period of overfishing on that stock. And so there are things that we need to pay attention to in the fisheries management realm, but I would also say there are things that we should pay attention to in other realms as well. So thinking about this from a community perspective, for example, I think that, you know, one of the first needs is, how do we buffer the fisheries we have now? What can be done to ensure that, you know, lobster fishing and other fisheries that are important in the state can continue, and that they are supported to the level possible? And in that case, I think it really entails looking beyond fisheries management. So thinking about our shoreside infrastructure, our transportation networks and road networks, and the ability to move product from the shore out into markets, means looking beyond fisheries and thinking about sea level rise, for example. So really thinking about the intersection of multiple stressors and trying to understand the fishery system as a whole, so that you can anticipate the other types of stressors that may be important and figure out how to work across all of those, I think. That's just one example, but I do think that, you know, it's important to recognize we have approaches and measures that exist outside of the fishery management arena as well. And I guess I should highlight, I've done a lot of work in several communities in Maine and beyond. I think one of the biggest challenges, the challenge I hear all the time in every interview and conversation, is the challenge of access to some of the species that are moving in. So how can fishermen obtain permits and, you know, quota, or, you know, the ability to actually participate in fisheries for some of the species that are arriving in Maine's waters?
What are some examples of those species?
For example, black sea bass. Maine has virtually no quota for black sea bass as a state. It's distributed among the states on the East Coast, but was distributed back in the 1980s, you know, when we didn't anticipate these major changes in species distribution across the region. So that hasn't been changed. There's not really a process for updating these allocations. Black sea bass, summer flounder, squid is another example. Some of the species that we see moving northward, and where the ability to enter into those fisheries and participate in those fisheries will be a particular challenge.
Yeah, I just want to add on this. I think it's a really important to conduct research, because what we learn from the past, you know, the management institution that we have right now is really dependent on the data we collected from the past. And with the warming temperature in the Gulf of Maine, you know, the lessons that we have learned in the past, of the data we collected, and because of all the shift baselines and changes in the system, may not work. And if we follow, you know, the experience that we had in the past managing the fisheries, we're going to either miss the opportunity, or we're going to overfish in the population. So I think, you know, more research, try to evaluate how, you know, population responded to the change in the Gulf of Maine, I think definitely would help improve our understanding and management of the system. So,
yeah, what kind of information, as the Gulf continues to warm, what information do we not have that we should to be able to make decisions?
So right now in in the stock assessment process, and we usually use the data collected from sheep sampling program, pole sampling program, or fisherman's logbook, and then you have a federal survey program and a state survey program data, and then we use that data to try to figure out how fish population changed over time and over space, and there's virtually no environmental drivers incorporated into the process. And so based on this, we're going to figure out effective, or it most likely will produce a wrong recommendation for management. And so you're either missing an opportunity or you overfishing a population. And so that I think more research we need to do to try to how we can incorporate those changes in the environment and into the assessment process, so that the quarter that we set will adapt to the change in the Gulf of Maine.
I think also, bringing the environmental data into the assessment process is really important. But going back to Dan's question about just purely monitoring, we do have surveys that are incredibly important for being able to do this work. But we have also seen an erosion of that monitoring in the region, not necessarily of the standard fishery surveys that we rely on for seeing adults in the system, although we did lose this year's survey to COVID, the federal survey at least. And so those gaps can be real challenges, particularly in years that are anomalous and have different conditions where you don't see what actually happened in the fish populations. But we have seen a substantial erosion of our monitoring of early life stages, so ichthyoplankton, like very larval fish, and also of zooplankton. So the surveys that typically or historically had been done to monitor those components of the ecosystem have been reduced, and some of them lost completely. And so those fill important gaps in enabling us to understand what might be coming into a population, and also to understand other components of the ecosystem like zooplankton that drive energy flow through the system and help provide the ability for fish populations to succeed.
Why have we lost or seen them reduce?
I think funding is clearly the dominant driver of those losses.
Yeah, and also with the, with the change in the distribution and all the surveys, monitoring program, we designed it in the 60s, federal agency, and for state survey program, we designed in the 2000. And back then, the fishery distributions are very different from where they are right now. And so, the monitoring program, we really have to look back and evaluate how effective those monitoring program can capture the change in those fish species distribution, over time. And I think it's now you cannot really rely on experience or data that we used to have in the past.